Let's come together. These are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David, who he has opened, no one can shut. And what he has shut, no one can open.
Yes, sir.
I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have little strength. Yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. I'm going to talk about choosing the door that God has opened. Choosing the door that God has opened. I know my topic is choosing the door that God has opened up. But when you look at these scriptures, I have to give you some kind of exegesis of the scriptures to give you an insight of who's talking and why he has the authority to be able to do what he said he was going to do. Jesus here, and many of you know that he wrote letters to the seven churches that was in Asia Minor.
Yes, sir.
He knew what was going on in the church. He knew all about the people that was in the church. He knew what everybody was doing in the church.
That's it.
And the same is true about Calvary. He knew everybody here.
He knew everybody.
He knew everything that you do and we do. You know how we think, how much we love him. And he gave an examination and the results of what he concluded about each one of those churches.
Uh-huh.
And every one of them, he found something wrong with them. For the exception of this church in Philadelphia. He said that, number one, he identified himself. When Jesus identified himself, he never says that I'm Jesus, your Lord or Master. But here he identifies himself as the one that's been holy and true. We know that he's holy. There's no other one that is holy than that person of Jesus. He's true. Because he said he's the way, the truth, and the life. And he said that he has a key in his hand. The key of David. The key of David. I can preach a sermon just on the key of David. Because David was such a big figure in the eyes of God. I know sometimes we look at his mistake that he made, but I didn't see a character in the Bible that didn't make a mistake. And the Bible began to identify David on the scene as being a man after God's own heart. And he was only 12 years old. Little children, if you're here, you're not so young that God can favor you. Age doesn't matter with God. It doesn't matter with God. And the fact that he identifies David, it symbolized the messianic office. Jesus came down through the lineage of David. That's what God began to establish his kingdom. It don't go all the way, the establishing of the kingdom doesn't go all the way back to Abraham. The founding of the nation of Israel go back to the Abraham. But the establishment of the kingdom was beginning with David. That's the reason God said that we are royalty. Because David kingship, God promised him that it would never end. That he will all, his descendants will always sit on the throne. And Jesus being a direct descendant of David, he fulfilled that prophecy that God gave. So when you hear David, it is the beginning of the messianic covenant with that God made with David. And because we are in Christ, that makes us royalty. That goes all the way back to David. David was so unique that he was not, he was a priest, a prophet, and a king. A priest means that he has direct connection with God. A prophet means that God gave him revelation to see things in the future. A king is the fact that he ruled.
Right. all put it together.
And the Bible says that we are raw priesthood. Meaning that we have direct access to God through Jesus Christ, who is the high priest. Amen? Are y'all following me here? Now, the key is a symbol of Scripture. A symbol of Scripture. God can give you the key to unlock revelations out of his word. The key is also equated with authority.
All right.
Whoever has the key is in control. You ever traveled with someone and you was ready to go? And since you were riding with them, you had to do what? Wait, because what? They had the key. That means that they were in control.
All right.
I know sometimes women, you ready to go, you'll send your kid, go tell your daddy to send me the key. Because the one that has control, has the key, has authority. Whoever has the key has control. And Jesus said, he has the key.
That's right.
To David's house. That he can unlock treasures and pour out riches. Because what? David's house is the kingdom. And Jesus has the key for you to get into the kingdom. And since he has the key, he said, I can open doors that no man can open. And I can shut doors. Because what? He has the authority. The key. And he said to this church in Philadelphia, I have set before you an open door that no man can shut. And I can shut these same doors and nobody will be able to open
them. All right.
The truth is, God wants to open some major doors in our lives. What Jesus is looking for from us, from me and from you, is faithfulness. And that we will keep his commandments. Now, Jesus, that's the reason he told the church in Philadelphia, I'm going to open the doors because you have been faithful and you have kept my commandments. If we would give God faithfulness. Now, God wants that faithfulness to continue and that obedience to continue. After you walk through the open doors that he has set in your life.
All right. All right.
Let me say this.
Go ahead.
I know this open door for this church in Philadelphia was for evangelism. But God opened doors in our lives many times. He wants the best for us.
All right.
He want us to be CEOs. He want us to be entrepreneurs. He want us to be proprietors. He want us to be at the top. But when you get there, don't forget your faithfulness. Don't you forget your obedience. I was at a job where I worked at Green Sheet for those 26 years or so. It was a family-owned business, and the lady that owned the business that started it, Helen,
She believed in astrology.
All right.
Not God, but astrology. And she actually had people coming in there, sitting down telling her about astrology. And I remember on my job, it was kind of unique. It was different. They used to guarantee us 40 hours a week. We worked 4 days a week, 10 hours a day. But they guaranteed it to us. But they want us to work at least 8 hours, 32 hours a week. But we'd get paid for 40.
Amen.
And most of the guys can finish their job in 5 to 6 hours. So they still had 4 hours to wait. And so what we used to do, we used to get to work about an hour and a half early, end up just sitting around doing nothing. You know, trying to get our time in. And a few of the guys said, Reb, can we start having Bible study? I said, yeah, but we're going to have to get here a little earlier to do it. He said, well, we ain't doing nothing now. We can have it now. I said, no, that ain't right. Number one, the person you work for don't believe in God.
Right.
Number two, they ain't gonna let you be being paid while I teach you about God.
Amen.
But they couldn't want to come 30 minutes early to get the word, though. What I said that is, God wants you at the top. The CEO, they're the one that writes the company policy. The owners of the company, they're the one that dictates what you can do and what you can't do. So if you are a believer, God wants you up there that you can start your employees off with a prayer and a scripture. When you honor God at the top, the blessings just keep on flowing. I think the best one that I could illustrate with that is the owner of Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A are not going to work on Sundays. And every time I go by Chick-fil-A, they got cars wrapped around. People standing out getting your orders way before you. And it's constantly. Another one I saw that happened in my time here in Houston was the owner of Randall's. Wouldn't sell alcohol, wouldn't sell tobacco in his stores. And he just started building stores all over. And then he passed it on to his son. Then his son saw all of that money they was missing by not selling alcohol.
Yes, sir.
All that money they was missing by not selling tobacco, and they brought it all in.
Right.
And you know what happened to Randall's? They started locking the doors, closing down. And after a while, they was up for sale.
Yeah.
And Fiesta bought them. So you see, honoring God on the way up, God will bless you. What you need to know about doors in your life. We walk through doors every day, many times a day, and don't know it. Doors are decisions that you make. And your future or your destiny will be shaped by which door you walk through or which door you let pass you by.
Talk to us.
Each wrong door you walk through
gonna
cost you. How many of y'all have walked through some wrong doors in your life? Once you get off track, it's not just getting back on real easy. Sometimes it might take 1 or 2 or 3 years to get back on track because you chose to go through the wrong door.
Yep.
Amen.
The wrong door gonna cost you money.
Yeah.
Time.
That's right.
relationships, and a lot of other things in your life.
That's right.
Yes, sir. And when you start talking about doors, there are all kinds of doors.
Yeah.
Sliding door. If you got this door in your house, you raise your hand. Sliding door.
Amen.
A pocket door. A front door. A back door. Basement door. Nobody got a basement. We don't have basements in this. A Dutch door. A Dutch door is one that cut in half. Like we got over there in the kitchen. In. A garage door. A fire rated door. You don't know what that is, and you ain't got that. An attic door. A bathroom door. Everybody don't have that one. You ain't got that one, you better go get it. An automatic door. A shower door. Closet door. Bedroom door. Revolving door. Glass door. How many of y'all got squeaky doors? Trap door. A magic door. A secret door. You got a secret door, it ain't no secret no more. Doors can be an entrance or an exit. A door can be a bridge to great things, or it can be a bridge to a bunch of horror. A door says welcome. A door can say you are not welcome. A door can say you accept it. A door can say that we reject you. A door can be used to separate things. But what I want to teach you about three points here,
yes,
I'm going to let you go, that you need to know about doors before you go through it. Number one, you need to know discernment. You're going to have to learn to discern which door to walk through and which door not to walk through.
All right.
Listen to what Paul said in Philippians 9 and 10. And this is my prayer, that you love, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and in the depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. That you might be able to discern what is best. Your decision about the doors that you walk through is going to affect you so you need to discern which door you need to pass by and which door are open from God. Let me let you know one thing. If an open door is truly from God, it will not contradict what he has already said in his word.
Amen.
That's how you determine which door that you walk through. And that's the reason it's so important for us to learn God's word. So we are making these kind of decisions on a daily basis.
All right.
Every time you get ready to walk through a door, you don't have time to go look it up in the Bible. I know you got your cell phone, but you don't Google it every time. Is God said about this door? What God said about that door? You got to know the word.
All right.
And be able to make those decisions when those decisions come. And let me say this. You're going to have to become a good student of the word. Because Paul said that he wants you to be able to make the best decision. The best decision. And everybody's not able to make those kind of decisions, even though you are a child of God and you are a born again believer. And I gave that to my class on Wednesday night for Bible study. Hebrews 5 and 14, write it down. We'll come out Wednesday night. We're going to discuss that about being able to make discernment. Even though you are a Christian. What did God say in Deuteronomy? This day I call to heaven and the earth as a witness against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live. You will constantly be making decisions. God said these choices are going to be there. You're going to have to choose. I put before you life and death, blessings and curses. Everybody wants life. Everybody wants blessings. And God, it's bad. I know when that's a multiple choice question because you got more than, you know, you took multiple choice test, didn't you?
Right.
Did the teacher ever give you a question, then tell you what the answer is?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
God gave you the question and the answer.
Right.
Told you what to do. He said, choose life.
Yeah. Right. Yes, sir.
Every decision, Paul said in the 7th chapter of Romans, when I would do good, evil is always present. There will always be a choice. There's going to be a right door and a wrong door. It's going to be there and it's going to set before you. Every time you want to do what's right, and walk through that right door that God is putting before you to go, there's going to be a wrong door.
Amen.
All right, yeah. Yeah. That's up. Automatic.
I tell young people, I know that you make mistakes when you're young. I made them. But the thing of it is, when you're young, you can't keep making that same mistake.
Right.
It's going to bring you down.
Yes.
You can't keep choosing the wrong answer. You can't keep choosing the wrong door. When God said, I set before you an open door.
Yes, sir.
Here's another thing you ought to. If God said, don't do it, then the door is a trap. If God done told you don't do something, you know God didn't set that door open for you. It's a trap. God is not going to give you somebody else's wife. God is not going to give you somebody else's husband. You can't find that in the Bible. And every time I see somebody took somebody else's wife in here, they had trouble from God. I don't care what the Spirit told you. The Spirit of God didn't tell you that. That's just, I'm like saying, Brother Reverend Lewis, it's true anyhow.
Amen.
Some doors you better let go.
Amen.
The biggest thing I see with people with doors is relationships.
Right.
Relationship. Might be a marriage relationship, a courtship relationship, might be a friend relationship, or kinfolks relationship, but most people choose bad relationships.
Right. Yes, sir.
You know God shut doors sometimes to protect you?
Amen.
Right. Yeah.
He did it for Noah.
Uh-huh.
And the Bible says, and he shut the door.
Yes. Right.
That was to protect them from that 40 days or 40 nights of rain.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes God will, if that man or that woman said, I want to see other people, let them go. Don't chase after them. God is trying to cut somebody out of your life. He's trying to shut a door to help you. If you are in a relationship, whether it's relatives or friends, that they keep interfering with your relationship with God, you need to close that door to it.
Yes, sir. All right.
Amen, son.
Because you know your blessings comes from God, and you got a relationship that's really hindering your blessings.
Amen.
I guess I'm getting too personal.
All right. Come on. All right.
Amen, somebody.
God give you doors of opportunity. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 16 and 9, for there is a wide open door for me to preach and teach here. So much is happening, but there are many enemies. God, Paul said, God, the door is wide open. I see it. The opportunity for me to share the gospel. And that's what God's going to open the doors for you so you can spread the word to more people. When God bless you in your career or whatever you're doing to go up, it's not for you to make your pockets full. It is for you to pour out blessings and glory to God in return. That you can share the good news of Jesus Christ with more and more people. And let me say this, every door that God opens for you, you're going to meet opposition. Just because people don't like what you're going through, or your dreams, or your ideas, or your vision, it doesn't mean it's the wrong door.
Amen.
You're going to meet opposition. Satan don't want you to be blessed by God.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I say it all the time. God uses people to bless you.
Amen.
Let me say this, because it's just as important. Satan used people to try to keep you down and to bring you down. Satan can't walk up here and slap me. But somehow or another, he can get you to believe that you'd be doing God a favor if you slap me. Y'all walking with me? So when you run into opposition, God and gave set before you this upper door, an opportunity that you can advance his kingdom.
Yes, sir.
Get ready for some opposition.
Yes, sir.
Somehow we think that thing just going to be just as. It don't work that way. Nehemiah is a good example of what I'm talking about here. Nehemiah was one of the Jews that was in captivity. The Babylonians captured the Jews and took them off. And then the Persians came and defeated the Babylonians. And so they were in control of the Jews. And Nehemiah was a servant to the king. And the king at that time was Artaxerxes. And so he was the one that served the king. And one day he went into the king, and the king looked at Nehemiah. He said, "You sad? Why are you so sad?" Nehemiah was concerned about his people. When the Babylonians came in to lead them captives, they destroyed their wall. They tore it down. They ramparted their city. Matter of fact, they tore the temple down. They tore it all to pieces. And in the Old Testament, the cities had a wall built around them to keep their enemies out. To keep the to protect them. And now they got people going back in Jerusalem and they have no wall. That means their enemies, the rioters, the thieves, the robbers, the terrorists, they can just go in and out as they will.
Uh-huh.
And it bothered Nehemiah. And Nehemiah prayed to God and fasted to God that he would solve that problem. And it so affected his spirit. And he asked the king. The king asked him about his sadness, and he told him what was going on.
Uh-huh.
And then the king's next question is, what can I do?
All right.
Yeah.
What can I do?
Uh-huh.
What do you need to do? How much help do you need?
Yeah.
And you know what the odd thing about that, it ain't odd, but the thing about that is, soon as the king asked the question, Nehemiah began to give him the answer,
uh-huh.
to lay out the plan that he had to go back to Jerusalem and build a wall. Footnote here. God going to show you something in your life.
Uh-huh.
Even because of this message, you're going to be looking for it more harder now. God going to give you a glimpse of what he wants to do through you.
Uh-huh.
Amen, son.
A vision, so to speak, or a dream. You might think it's so far-fetched. One thing God don't do, he don't show you the old plan, how you gonna get there.
That's right.
But he show you where he wants you to go. A glimpse.
But he does.
Now, the question is,
all right,
you know what God has showed you is so big that you yourself can't get there.
Uh-huh.
So what do you do while you waiting,
all right,
for the vision to come to pass?
All right. Talk, talk.
What do you do while God is working on your vision?
Uh-huh.
You know what you do?
Yeah.
Just like Nehemiah did. He had a plan.
Uh-huh.
He had a plan. Soon as God opened the door of opportunity and the king said, what do you want me to do?
Uh-huh.
Nehemiah said, what? I got my plan here. I got my plan. I need this and I need this and I need this. He had his plan.
Let me
bring back what my Lord said. He said, when you pray, whatsoever you ask, whatsoever you ask, believe that you have received, and you shall have what you ask.
All right.
So what Jesus is saying and what Nehemiah did, they was walking by faith because God has granted him what he'd been asking for, and he laid out a plan. So when the door came open, he didn't have to go and research. He didn't say, can you let me get back to you? Give me a week or so. No, when that opportunity flies open, you can walk through the door. And many times we're not ready. Because we wanted, but we had made no plan.
Yeah.
Amen.
Nehemiah went back and started building the wall.
Uh-huh.
And soon as he started building, here come his enemies. His
enemies
going to come.
All right.
Because you're messing with them. Now they was free to go in and steal what they wanted to.
Yeah.
Terrorize who they want to. Yeah. But once Nehemiah get this wall built. Oh, they tried all kinds of game on Nehemiah. The Bible said Nehemiah got to the point that he had a hammer in one hand and a sword in the other.
Yeah.
You're going to have to fight the enemy to get what God has already promised. God said it's yours, it's yours.
Uh-huh.
Then, after they couldn't fight and beat him, and all the other tricks didn't work, they tried to distract him. Wrote him a letter. Then Nehemiah, let us talk. Let's sit down and talk. And Nehemiah said to them, this is what he said. So I replied by sending back this message to them. I'm doing a great work. Why should I stop to come down and visit with you? When you know you're doing what God has said for you to do, I don't care what your family members say. I don't care what the other part of you say. You don't stop when you know you're doing a good work.
Help somebody.
Sometimes it just takes courage to walk through some doors. We got to overcome the fears. Fear gonna come. Believe me, fear gonna come. But the thing about fear is that. But you gotta have courage. God tells Joshua over and over, be courageous. Be courageous. Be courageous. Courageous don't mean that there's no fear. You have to be, you got to have fear in order to be courageous. If there's no fear, what I have to be courageous about?
All right. Yeah.
So you can overcome the fear. I remember when I was in, you know, I was in Grambling. I don't know why. They might have stopped it. Did they still make y'all take swimming when you went there? They didn't. Well, I'm so much older than you. That was mandatory. That was a required course. You weren't going to get your diploma or degree without taking swimming. The only way you're going to get out of swimming, you had to have a doctor's written excuse. And my wife went and got one. I ain't even talk about you. You were just 18 years old. But at Grambling, they had one of these tall, y'all see them tall dive poles? I wasn't no good swimmer, but I can get out the water, you know. And that teacher had us to jump off of it. The thing already about 20 feet tall, and then when you get up there, you add some more onto it because you look, and you look like that water was so far down there. And one boy was so scared when he was up there, he looked down and he went back. The teacher made him go back to the edge again. He looked back and went back. The teacher made him go back. And then he shook the board and made him fall off. And Lord knows, when I got up there, the only thing I was scared of, I was going to jump so close to the edge that I didn't want to hit the concrete. But I was scared up there. I've never been that high jumping off of something. Amen. It took what?
Courage.
Took courage.
Yeah.
I was still scared.
Yes, sir.
But I jumped.
All right.
That's what courage is. In spite of the fear, going through. And listen to this. And many of us won't go through the door that God has opened for us because we know it's going to upset our peace. Anybody ever started a business? You know your peace would go out the window. Trying to figure out how you're going to pay for all of this that you got. And we won't walk through the door because we want to... We want God to show us the whole nine yards.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
When we built this church, we talked about it enough. We prayed about it enough. Now it's time to build. We got to stop praying and fasting. We got to build.
All right.
Don't white folks go down there and say they're going to build a 70-story building. I don't see them fasting and praying. All right. They just go and build.
Yeah.
All right. Let me let you all go. I knew this was going to be a long sermon. Y'all didn't see me editing out all the stuff I edited out that I wanted to say.
Amen.
Then I thought about doing part one and part two. But this is my last point. God will open doors for you if you will open doors for others.
All right.
That's the golden rule. You know what the golden rule says?
Yeah.
Do unto others as you will have others to do unto you.
Yes, sir. Yes.
It'll be wrong for you to ask God to open something for you and you are not willing to help nobody else.
Yes.
Listen to what Solomon said in Proverbs. He said, a generous person will prosper.
Amen.
Whosoever refresh others will be refreshed.
Yes, sir.
What that remind you of? Whosoever refresh others, you will be refreshed.
Yes, sir.
That's about sowing and reaping.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Whatever you sow, that's what you're going to reap.
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
Y'all hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Whatever you want God to open the door for you, won't you take your time and try to open a door for somebody else? Sowing and reaping.
Yeah.
Whatsoever you sow,
yes, sir,
that which you also shall reap.
Yeah.
If you out there shutting doors on somebody, God gonna shut doors on. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Whatsoever you sow, you going to reap. You got to learn to be generous.
Yes.
And Solomon said, the person that is generous will prosper.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Generous with your time. Generous with your praise. Generous with your home. Generous with your money. Generous with your energy. Generous. You know what that is? Hospitality. We ought to be hospitable. It's shame on you. God bought you, got you able to get a new car. You don't want to ride nobody. Shame on you. You got a great big old house and won't invite nobody over. Shame on you. Being hospitable. I can go along. I'm from Louisiana. Y'all been to Southern Louisiana? Anybody been to Southern Louisiana? Anybody been to Opelousas? All right. There's some hospitable folks out there. They will, you can go there, you can just lock it, you can leave your wallet in the car. They ain't gonna take that, they're just like that. I'm serious. They're like that. But one thing I also found out about them either, don't you cross one of them. You cross one, you better leave town quick. Because they do believe in cutting. I'm just telling you about a little Southern, just being hospitable. God bless you with it. Listen to what Job said. Job said in Job 31 and 32, strangers has not stayed in the street, for I have opened my doors to the travelers. Job was the most, he was the wealthiest man of his time. It wasn't by accident. He shared what God gave him. And that's what God does with us. When you go through the book of Acts, the first Gentile that received the Holy Spirit was Cornelius. And what the Bible says about Cornelius is that he gave a lot into charity. Y'all hear that?
Yes, sir.
In other words, when I say it all the time, God want to bless other people, but he's going to bless other people through people.
Amen.
And we can make ourselves an avenue that God can flow blessings.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
There are some people in this church.
Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God.
Just keep on giving.
Yes.
Sister Tita Smith, She didn't want me to tell the church, but I had to say it at the funeral because she did it so much. Every first of the month, she had something for me. When I couldn't come, she couldn't come, she'd tell me to come by. If she couldn't call me, she'd have Deacon Overshawn give that to her. She's going to make sure. And that went on for 28 years. The more she kept getting, I never heard her in 28 years ask the church for nothing. In 28 years, her lights would never turn off. In 28 years, she never missed a meal. In 28 years, she just what? Kept on. She was an avenue that God used to bless the His man. Oh, y'all don't hear me here. And God want to use you as an avenue to bless others. When God bless you, don't go and talk about like the man in the Bible. Got so much blessings, he didn't know what to do with it. So what, I'm going to build something bigger so I can put everything in it. As Pastor Lewis used to say, we can't get all we can. Can all we get. Set on the can and tell somebody else to get it if you can. God want us to be a blessing. Give. And let me put a footnote there. I put it on the board. Y'all see that footnote down there? Get home, read it. Because friends and blood relatives don't count. I know you. Some of us say, well, I helped my cousin the other day. I gave my nephew this and I gave. No, Jesus said, don't worry about that. Don't bring me that, because folks that don't even go to church do that. Because kin folks take care of kin folks. Ain't got nothing to do with your Christianity. But Jesus want to see how you entertain strangers. And the Hebrew writer said, be careful how you entertain strangers, because you might be entertaining angels unaware. Let me close by telling you this. God made you in His image. And He told you His objective is to get you to look like His Son, Jesus. And when you look at the Father and the Son, they was always giving. They was always giving. God gave His Son to the world. Then His Son came and gave His life for us, wretched folks. And after they killed Him on Friday, buried Him Friday evening, and after He rose on Sunday, He told them and He fulfilled His promise. He gave us the Holy Spirit. He just went, keep on giving. Give you forgiveness of sin. Give you eternal life. Give you the keys to the kingdom. Give you all of this joy unspeakable. God, just keep on giving. And Jesus said, freely have you received. Now freely you give. Everything you've got from God didn't cost you a dime. Everything that you got from God, He didn't charge you. He just did what? Gave. Freely you have received. Freely you give. It don't cost you nothing to give somebody praise. It don't cost you nothing to encourage somebody. It don't cost you nothing to open the door for a lady. It don't cost you nothing. Freely you have received. Freely. And whatever you're looking for, give it and it'll be given to you. Jesus said, when I get a hold of what you gave, I'm going to get it. Press it down. I'm going to pack it in there for you. shake it up until it starts running over. Then he told you how he going to get it. He said, how you going to get it? I'm going to cause other men to give to you. Oh, come on. Give God a hand to pray. He look out for us. Keep on getting. Giving us another day. Keep giving us a good night's sleep. You had a good night's sleep last night. Give God a praise. Sweet sleep. Woke up this morning with church going on your mind. Give God a praise. He gave you that. You didn't always want to come to church. You sat at home, gone fishing, gone to the football game. Anything else the church putting on your mind. God gave you a church going mind. Give him some praise. He just give and give and give. And I like that old song. You can't beat God's giving no matter how hard you try. Because he just what? Keep on. Keep on. Keep on. Giving and giving and giving and giving and giving. Come on, give him some praise. The open doors.
Paying attention.